Amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, and then also I want you to hold that spot. Then we're going to look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. So Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 17. Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to pick up at verse 2. As you turn into that, my intent over the past 2 weeks was just to hear from God as far as where to go next for our church family. And I was praying specifically about, okay, what series, what do we need to be focusing in on church, you know, as a church family? And I hate to say it like this, but I went in kind of already with a loaded prayer. Like I knew where I wanted to go. I wanted to go this direction. I wanted to preach in this particular book. And it was like the Lord didn't say a mumbling word. I said, Lord, you still there? I don't act like you ain't had those kinds of prayers. Okay, well, this is going to be a hard day today. Okay. And I remember just saying, okay, God, I'm putting this before you. I'm putting this before you. Bless it, bless it, bless it. And the Lord wouldn't give me a blessed thing. I said, okay, Lord, it is Sunday morning. Y'all didn't catch what I just said. It is Sunday morning, Jesus, and you need to say something today. And the only thing the Lord showed me was you need to learn how to wait on God. I said, oh, okay, we're doing that today. And that's what we're going to talk about, waiting on God. And we're going to spend the next 3 weeks talking about waiting on God. I hope y'all won't be able to wait through all that. But that's all we're going to talk about. Is that cool? Amen. Let's pray and let's wait on God. Father, we love you. And God, we give you all the praise and all the honor that's due unto you. Father, we look to you for all things, not just particular things, but God, we look to you for all things. So God, I just ask that you would speak to our hearts. God, give us ears to hear your voice. I pray, Father, that if there are any distractions that are in our head, in our heart, in our life, I pray, Father, that you would minimize it, turn down that noise so that we can hear clearly from you, Lord. God, we believe and we know that there's still yet so much to be done within our church family. God, help us to be patient. Help us to wait on you and not get ahead of you, Lord. Father, I pray that we would simply walk in step with you. God, we thank you. God, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me go ahead and put this warning out here. This is one of those messages that are not necessarily a feel-good message, because we like instant gratification. We don't want to wait on nothing. I mean, the one thing that I found really fascinating here recently when I went to McDonald's, they have those little, you know, self-serve little options. You go push the screen. Y'all see that? Okay, so for me, that spoke my love language. Anything dealing with technology and hurrying up stuff, I'm all about that. Especially if I can avoid nasty attitude people. Y'all left me by myself. I didn't have to wait on anybody. I walked up to the kiosk bath. I punched in my numbers. I grabbed my number. I went and sat myself down. Guess what happened? My food showed up just like that. All wrong, but that's not the point. Because there's always a danger in when you get in a hurry to do anything. Here recently, I was playing basketball with our neighbor across the street, and I was playing, it was my son, you know, it was old school versus new school, which was already a problem right there. They 10 and 11. We 41, 42, you know, ish. And I learned something about myself. Your body will do some strange things when put in the wrong position. And we had it going on, Diane. We had it going on. We were beating they behind me, beating them up. I mean, we were winning. And I was trying to play smooth, and he was telling me, cut to the basket. I said, I got you. And I'm bragging, I got you. I know how to cut to the basket. And he threw the ball, and my knee said, no, wait a minute. I didn't even know my knee could do that. I just, all I kept thinking, like, really, Jesus, this? I mean, I was so embarrassed. So embarrassed, but I was in such a hurry because I saw the basket was wide open. I was on my way to the hoop, and again, I'm bragging the whole way to my son. Look at you. And all I could hear was old Mother Haley in the background saying, something quick won't stick. Something fast won't last. Because when you get in a hurry, you can cause damage, not to just yourself, but the people around you. And I remember, you know, there have been seasons in my life where I wanted to get in a hurry, and I could hear the old saints telling me you need to learn to wait on God. I didn't want to hear that. Okay, y'all left me by myself. And the saddest thing is nobody explained to me what waiting on God really meant. Oh, gosh. Because, okay, can we just be real for a moment? Sometimes we say these Christian things that sound really good, but cannot help anybody in their situation. So I'm trying to figure out life, and they're saying, wait on God. And I'm like, what does that mean? Do I go sit in a corner and wait? But one of the things that God revealed to me, he says, waiting on God is simply trusting what God has already said and what he has already revealed. Are y'all hear what I'm saying? It's not just sitting idly by, because that's what my mind went to, just sitting idly by doing nothing. And all that did was create more worries, more anxieties, more problems. But waiting on God simply means, God, I'm willing to trust you when things are not making sense around me. And I had to say that over and over until I really start believing that. Because can I be human for a moment? The first few times I said that, I really didn't believe that. Okay, y'all can leave me like that today. Because nobody taught me how to be patient and wait on God. They didn't tell me that there are seasons in life where God seems to be inattentive to your prayers. It is if when you pray, God hit the mute button on your prayer. Okay, let me bring it closer to home. On iPhones and on Facebook Messenger, it'll show you when somebody read your message. It'll tell you that it's been seen. It'll seem like at times in life that you'll send up a prayer to God and it look like he saw your prayers. He just ain't replied to them just yet. What do you do with that? Because we believe that we serve an on-time God, but it's never on our schedule. And it may seem as though God is inattentive when he's not moving when you want him to move. God ain't Santa Claus. God don't just come to every beckoning call. I remember the best advice our doctor gave us was that he says, when your child's crying, you have to learn to just leave them in there. And that's hard. Because they hollering. And I'm in my room. Hollering. We hollering at each other like, you gonna go, we gonna go, who gonna go? Fuck the ball, shoot dice. Kick out the baby. Somebody go. Because the natural inclination of any good parent is that when you hear your child cry, you move. And we say that God is a good father, and you telling me there are moments in your life you will cry out to him, and he will say nothing? Tell your neighbor, wait on God. So write this down. Just because God is silent doesn't mean that God is absent. Just because God hasn't spoke to your specific situation doesn't mean that God is not gone. Just think in. God's word is very clear. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He didn't say, I will always keep talking to you all the time. Perpetually. Because there are times where God, and here's the truth. Have you ever been in a circumstance when it's just stone cold silent? Y'all said that was last Sunday, or two Sundays ago, three Sundays ago, last month. One of them sermons you preached, it was, you know. But here's the thing. Silence is awkward. Not everybody knows how to handle silence. One of the things I learned about silence, you find out more about yourself in those times of silence. And ultimately, you'll find out a lot about God in times of silence. Because what God does, in a lot of ways, when he's silent, he's trying to see what you're really putting your trust in. Are you putting your trust in the thing you're praying for? Or are you putting your trust in the one you're praying to? Because if the thing I'm asking for doesn't come right away, how will I handle that? Well, I say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. I didn't get what I wanted, but no, we don't praise the Lord like that. We praise the Lord when we get something good in our life. Y'all left me by myself. But God is to be praised even in the silence. Watch this. And just because God is silent doesn't mean you go silent too. This ain't the silent treatment game. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. If you've ever been in a relationship, and that person you love shut it down, ain't got nothing to say. How do you handle the silence? It's key. You don't return evil for evil. Oh, you gonna be quiet? I'm gonna be quiet too. Let's see who can be quiet the longest. I'll see you next week. The beauty about God is that God didn't just save us so that we can go to heaven. God saved us for a relationship. And relationship requires work. There are moments when God is silent and you need God to speak. And there are moments when you don't feel like you can say much yourself. But you have to be discerning. What season God has you in? Is it time to shut up and sit? Or is it time to just keep making my petitions known to the Lord? And I do that saying, I gotta trust you. Tell your neighbor, God, tell God, I trust you. Tell God, I trust you. And so we're gonna look at a story that doesn't really end all that well. I wish I could find a different way to present this, but I mean, this particular passage, it's hard for the believer because we believe that God will deliver us from every situation, no matter how bad it is. There are some seasons that God leaves you in some places, not to defeat you, but to develop you. But then also, watch this, it is ultimately for his glory anyway. Whatever God does, it's for his glory and for his purposes. Sometimes we get that twisted because we want the glory. We want the shout. And God's saying, no, this is about me, not about you. And we've created a Christianity where it's all about making people feel good. And it's not about that. I remember years ago, they won't get to our text. I remember years ago, I was praying in a specific situation. I was about to be laid off. And I remember my wife and I praying, God, we trust you. God, give us an answer. And watch this. And they even told me, they said, we're going to give you 10 days to make a decision on either you're going to stay or you're going to go. And I'm thinking, there's plenty of time for God to speak. Amen. 10 days. Matter of fact, God can speak right now. Day one went by. Well, we're still waiting on you, Lord. We know you're going to speak. Day two and three go by. We know you're able. God, you love us, don't you? Day seven roll around. Speak, Lord. Hear our faintest cry. Answer by and by. Day eight and day nine roll through. Okay, Jesus. We thought 9 days ago you was going to come through. Day 10 rolls over. You still up there, Jesus? And I remember I had to go into my vice president's office. I'll never forget this day. I walked slowly to his door, first of all. Jesus, I know you see me. I'm getting ever so close to this door. Right about now would be a good time. I'm narrating the whole situation. Lord, I'm putting my hand on the door. I'm twisting. First of all, let me back up, Jesus. I'm moving too fast. Let me knock first. Maybe he's not in there. Come in. All right, Jesus, he said, come in. What we gonna do? I sit down in my seat. God never said a word. My future is right here. Either I'm going to keep working to provide for my family, or I'm going to be without a job. Jesus, you need to say something. And Brad, I'll never forget, he says, Stephen, here's the document. What you going to do? Steve, you okay? I'm just making sure the pen is working. And I told him I was going to decline the offer. And he says, what are you going to do? And I said to him very politely, I have no idea. God says, many are the plans of man, but it's God's purposes that will prevail. Because when you don't know what to do, that does not mean that God is no longer in control. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. The reality is that even when things are chaotic around you, God is still sovereign and in control of every move you make, every step you take. God is still in control. And so what we see in this particular passage, we see this fellow by the name of John the Baptist in Mark chapter 6. He is one who has understood who Jesus Christ was. He believed that he was the Messiah. He was preparing the way. He was Jesus' cousin then. He was all of that. He was doing all the right things. And he finds himself arrested, on lockdown, in prison. Can't help himself out of the situation. And what got him in prison was that he spoke the truth. He saw where there was error in his community. He was not just going to ignore it any longer, but he saw the issue. He says, I got to say something about this. God is not pleased with this. Now, let me say this. Now, you need to be careful when you speak truth, because you also need to be willing to deal with the consequence that comes behind that.
That's right.
Oh, y'all left me by myself. Y'all must ain't told truth to somebody before, because sometimes you tell the wrong person the right truth. They have the wrong response for you. Amen, somebody. And so he speaks the truth and he finds himself facing death. And so let's pick up in verse 17, chapter 6, verse 17. He says, for it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, a And this is his wife, his brother's wife, that is now his wife. Okay, y'all picking this. This is a drama. This is playing out right in front of us. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias and had a grudge against him and wanted him put to death. I want him dead, y'all. But she could not, for Herod feared John, or he reverenced John. He honored John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man. He kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. So again, the scene, he's serving faithfully. You would think, as you serve faithfully, all good things come your way. That's what we think. As long as I keep doing good things will keep happening to me. But what happens for the good person when bad things knock on your door? Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? There will be moments where you're doing great things. You're blessing God. You're serving God. You're doing all the right things. You're checking all the boxes. And yet, problems seem to still find you. It's amazing how problems find you. As if they already got your sin. Oh, I mean, it's like God says, okay, yes, you've been faithful. But it does not exempt you from problems. Ooh, Jesus. So he's arrested. Now remember, he believes in Jesus. He's trusted Jesus. He's his cousin. And you would think, if anybody needs to be delivered and brought out, if anybody needs to be made free, John the Baptist should have been made free. Let's go back. He's a forerunner of the Savior. He's sending people to Jesus. He's preaching the truth. He's doing all these good things. He's wrongfully committed to prison. He's Jesus' cousin. That ought to be an automatic pass right there. But watch it. He's found in prison. And watch this. Turn over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Let's look at verses 2 and 3. So I know what you're saying. I'm doing all the right things. I'm serving the Lord. I don't deserve this that I'm facing right now. I've been faithful, Lord. I don't deserve this. I'm good, Lord, but I don't deserve this. Look at verse 2. He says, now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, watch this, he sent word by his disciples. So his homies were close by, which is always good to have your homies close by. When you're having hard times, it's good to have your homies. Okay, y'all know a homie is a friend, a close companion, your ace. All right, okay, I just want to make sure y'all was tracking with me, okay? So he had his homies that were nearby, so he gives them word. He says, I need you to take this instant message to Jesus. And he said to him, and this is Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? So now at this moment, he had been believing that he was the Christ, but now he's having a few questions. It's amazing what happens when you are facing problems. The thing that you really believed in once before, now you start to have questions about it. Because you're trying to evaluate, God, wait a minute, are you really God? Because if you're really God, why am I in this situation right here? Okay, I hear churches say God is good, okay? All the time God is good. But my situation ain't good. God, where are you in this? And so John the Baptist, who had been faithful, who had been doing great things, now he's got questions. Are you the one? Or do I need to look for somebody else? I don't know if you've ever been there. Are you really Jesus? Or do I need to look for somebody else? Because this situation that I'm in right now is too painful. God, you must not be in this situation. And that's what we'll tell ourselves. God, you're not in this. Yes, he is. Tell your neighbor, yes, he is. Scoot down to verse 4. Watch this. And Jesus answered them, and I love this, go and tell John that you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the dead. the dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. This is what Jesus is doing. John is locked down. He's in prison. Are you the one? Jesus quotes a scripture to him. Okay. That admission, I look like it messed me up. Jesus had been doing all these miracles for everybody else. Raising the dead, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, helping the deaf to hear. He's doing all these miraculous things. Are you the one? He says, do you see all the stuff I'm doing? In so many words, yeah, I'm the one. So he quotes right down Isaiah chapter 33. This is what Jesus quotes. He quotes chapter 35, verses 5 and 6. Gosh. He doesn't tell him, hold on. At midnight, it's going to be a jailbreak. He doesn't tell him that. Jesus does not send the angels to open up the doors. He quotes a scripture. Okay, put yourself in that situation. You're in a desperate situation. You cannot find your way out of this. You find your way to church. You want to hear a word from the Lord about your situation to get you out. And then all thing they say is, trust the Lord. He may not come when you want, but he's on time, God. Well, they about to turn my lights off tomorrow. Can you tell them to hurry up? Because sometimes, this is what I learned about this passage. Sometimes the best thing you can have is to be reminded about who God is. Let me read to you what Isaiah says. He says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, because this is a messianic prophecy. So he's telling them this is who is coming. And the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and the streams in the desert. John the Baptist had not experienced this before. He needed to be escaped. He wanted to get out of this. And he hears a word from the Lord to remind him that God is still God. Okay. Every now and then, and I encourage you, you need to have at least one good scripture to remind you who God is when you're facing certain situations in your life. Okay, my Bible tells me that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Okay, thank you, Jesus. I'm reminded of that. You need to remind yourself, yes, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Yes, I remember that. If God be for me, who can be against me? Yes, I remember that. Because when life happens, you start to forget who God is. And every now and then you need to remind yourself, don't look at your problems and magnify your problems so much. You got to start magnifying the Lord the more, because you know who he is. And your situation doesn't take away from God's goodness. So Jesus says, the best thing I can tell you, keep believing what I've said. And that's the best thing we can ever do. And then watch what he says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 6. Look what he says. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on my account. Because what Jesus had a knack for doing, he had a knack for upsetting the religious leaders. He says, watch this. He says, John, I know your situation is desperate. I know you're in a bad situation. But notice this. When I've come, I've also caused leaders to stumble and fall. But you are blessed because you did not stumble and fall, but you have seen the truth and who I am. I said, okay, Lord, but what's it got to do with anything? And the Lord says, thank you, Holy Ghost. Knowing the truth about Jesus is better than being delivered out of any situation. Y'all left me by myself. Knowing the truth about who Jesus is greater than being delivered out of any situation, because you can be delivered and still go to hell. I got quiet right there. Well, I mean, we can shout over deliverance, but sometimes we need to learn to shout because God has made himself known to us and he's given me a right mind to bless his name. And so that is better than me being delivered out of any situation. Because my situation can't save me. but my Savior. He can save me. And not only can he save me, he can sustain me in any situation. And I'm glad about it. And he says, don't trip about this. He says, this is temporary. What you've done, what you've experienced is something eternal. So let's look at the scene. So Herod has a little party at his crib, at his house. And he has his niece come out and dance for him. It's in Mark chapter 6. And she dances so well that he says, baby, whatever you want, up to half my kingdom, I'll give it to you. Now he says this not in private. He says this in front of all his homeboys. You know, he liked to shine a little bit. He said, I got it like that. I got dances and I can. Anyway, y'all can say later. But watch it. And then my imagination started running with me. Like, what kind of dance was she doing that made him willing to give up half of his kingdom? Was it a ballet? Liturgical dance? But did she have flags? Streamers? But what I do know is that Herod says, I'm willing to give up everything, up to half my kingdom for you. What do you want? Give me the head of John the Baptist. He was already in prison. It's already a bad situation. Now it's gotten, as my brother would say, worser. Yes. Now that's that night hour calling on Jesus now. Because I'm sure at that moment, he's now, okay, Jesus, now you've done miracles for everybody. Matter of fact, you've done miracles for strangers. I'm your cousin. I prepared the way of the Lord. If you're going to move right now, this will be the moment. This will be the moment, Jesus. Show up right now. Where the earthquake's at? Nothing. Nothing. Scoot down to verse 26. Mark chapter 6, verse 26. Looking for the miracle. Nothing happening. Verse 26. The king was greatly distressed because of this request, but because he made his oath in front of his homeboys, he did not want to refuse her, so he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. Jesus, and this is where it gets rough, Jesus had the power to rescue John, but he didn't. The only question that I had to ask, where was God in this? Have you ever been there when you thought disaster would eventually be averted, but disaster happened anyway? The next logical question is, God, where are you in this? Because we don't think that saints are supposed to suffer like this. But write this down, and this is what the Holy Ghost gave me. God doesn't call us to convenience. God calls us to commitment.
All right.
And I'm afraid that many of us think that being a Christian is all about me being convenient.
Preach.
That I ought to be taken care of all the time. That ought to be pampered and looked after. But sometimes following Jesus gets hard.
Yes.
Don't leave me by myself. Sometimes
come on now.
Following Jesus can become inconvenient.
Yes.
And oftentimes it comes unscheduled. And yet God says, I will accomplish or perfect my plans concerning you. So even when we face disaster, disaster doesn't deviate God's plan. Oh gosh. Write down Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Proverbs 19, 21. And this is a constant reminder. It's that many of how the plans of man, but it's the Lord's purpose that will prevail. My prayer when I was going into the office, God rescued me from this situation. I went in, God rescued me from this situation. God let me fall right off that cliff, right into his safety net. The sad thing about it is that if I had walked and saw the net, I probably would have chose my own route anyway. God only will allow us to see so much. Because here's what I learned, Arlene. God knows us. He knows our tendencies. He knows our proclivities. And so sometimes he has to do the extreme to get the best out of us.
Come on now.
Oh my gosh. So God says, I'm going to take you, Steve, not just to the cliff, but to a place you hadn't seen before. Take you off the cliff. And then you fast forward 11 years. And here I stand right here, right now, because God's purposes prevail.
Hallelujah.
You may be faced with something
right now,
and it may be unclear what God is trying to accomplish through you. That is not the time to throw in the towel.
Yes.
It is time to keep trusting God. Yes. Here's this one for free, and then we'll raise up one out of here. You don't have to understand God's plan perfectly to trust his purposes. Are y'all here? Many of us, if you like me, I need to see everything first. Same. We gotta see the whole thing first before we make a move. But that's not walking by faith. Walking by faith says, God, I don't see it yet. It doesn't make sense to me yet. But yeah, God, I'm going to trust you. And watch this. And God knows us. Watch this. We'll say that. We'll say, I trust you until we put it in a situation. To now, that trust is now being questioned. Like, wait a minute, Jesus, I trust you up until this point. And Jesus knows how to push us beyond that point. That's why Paul says all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord and call them, who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And when we are called according to God's purposes, then guess what? It doesn't matter what happens to us. God will continue to work through us. And you think we have it hard? If you look at scripture, Jesus had it hard. I remember as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, is it another way? If it is, let this cup pass. He didn't pray this prayer one time. He prayed this prayer three times. He still was marched down the Via Dolorosa, still taken up to Golgotha, still had nails pierced in his feet and his hands. Still was raised up on this execution device called a cross. And he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? God, or in other words, God, why am I suffering like this? Because here's what I've learned too, that with suffering. Sometimes the suffering is not just about you. Sometimes the suffering is about the people who will be blessed through you. Because this same Jesus who was lifted up, who hung, bled, and died, didn't just do it for his own sake, But because he had each and every one of us in his mind, watch this, that he knew that he would redeem and save, he suffered so that we wouldn't have to suffer by ourselves. And that's why he says to his disciples, I will be with you always. I understand suffering. I understand defeat. I understand failure. I understand pain. And I can stand here with you when you're having pain, when you are suffering, when you are down and out. I've been there. And if I've been there, I'm with you right now. And see, he's not just a God who just looks at us just with everything, but he looks at us in solidarity. He understands our pain. He understands our suffering. We have a Savior that's strong enough to suffer with us. Oh my gosh. So yes, it may not make sense, and it may seem like God is indifferent. He got you, boo. He got you. He got you. He got you. Tell your neighbor, he got you. Talk to yourself. Say it. And I'm glad about it. But would you bow with me for a moment? Bow with me for a moment. Maybe you're faced with some things right now in your life that doesn't seem to line up with who God is. David said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. But what I'm experiencing is not goodness. It is the opposite of goodness. And Jesus, I need you to make sense of this that I'm facing right now. God, would you make sense of what I'm facing right now? God, I believe that you have the answer. And my prayer for each of us is that we're patient as we wait on God. Don't think that God is indifferent about your situation. God loves you. Oh, I want you to hear me as we're praying. God loves you. And God has a plan for your life. God has not walked out on you. We're just saying that he will never walk out on you. No, never. And he will be with you. Even in this season you're with right now, you just need to wait on God. Just wait on God. Father, I thank you right now for you being with us in every stage, in every season that we face. God, you're not just with us in the good. God, you're with us in the bad and the ugly. And God, we're grateful for that. God, thank you for never running out on us, God. God, when others may have run out on us, God, you were right there. Right there by our side. And God, we are so grateful. So, Father, I pray that in this time of waiting on you, God, that we will be sensitive and discerning, God, to hear your voice. God, help us to not just hear our own voice. God, help us to hear from you. So, Father, I pray for my brothers and my sisters right now. That whatever they're facing right now, I pray that it doesn't get the best of them, but that it produces the best out of them. So, Father, I pray that they will endure well. That they will struggle well for your glory. God, that when they come out of this, they will be made better. Matter of fact, God, I pray that they will become better while they're in it right now. God, that we don't have to wait to be delivered to be better, but we can be perfected while in our situation. So, Lord, perfect us. Strengthen us. Help us to not get weary in the waiting, God. Let us not worry in the waiting, God. God, we trust you. Your word says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for. the evidence of things not seen. And then you challenge us, you said, and now without faith, it is impossible to please you. We must believe that you are, and that you are a reward of those who diligently seek you. And God, we don't just seek you, God, when it's convenient. We don't just seek you because we're comfortable. We seek you because you are God and God alone. God, thank you for making yourself known to us. God, that we have a mind to worship you. That we have a mind to praise you, to give you glory and honor. So, Father, I pray that you strengthen my brothers. Strengthen my sisters, Lord. God, that they won't be crushed by the pressures of life. God, you said your word. God, you said your word. God, your yoke is easy. Your burdens are light. But God, I sense that there are those, God, who feel like this yoke is heavy right now. And God, your word says, God, you will not put more on us than we can bear. And Father, some of us have reached a limit, or yet we feel like we've reached a limit in our capacity to bear what we're facing right now. So God, help us to lean on you the more. God, reveal in us, God, where we haven't trusted you completely. Where we've held on things, God, we need to let go. God, today we commit to letting go. God, this is our release party. Yes. God, whatever has kept us bound, we're releasing to you right now, God. And we walk in your liberty. We walk in your freedom today. So if you're here today, you say, Pastor, that's me. I've reached my limits. I feel like the pressure has gotten the best of me. And I just need the church to just join me in prayer to help me in this season I'm facing right now. The load seems too heavy. And I hear what you're saying. Wait on God, wait on God. I know, I hear that. I've been waiting. But I'm getting weary. The Lord is speaking to your heart right now. You said, that's me. I need you to just join me in prayer right now. Or I just need to talk to somebody today. Would you just raise your hand right where you are? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I see you. There's no shame in confessing to the Lord that you're weak. Bible says his strength is made perfect in your times of weakness. And don't be fooled by what you see around here. All of us ain't all got it together. Don't be fooled by that. Some of us are struggling in silence. And we just know how to hide it well. But for those who raise their hand, I thank you for your courage to say, no, I need to get this fixed today. I need some help in this situation today, and I'm not ashamed to lift my hand to Jesus and God, and I need you today. God, we thank you for the hands that we've raised. Father, I pray, God, that they would experience you in ways, God, that they can't even imagine. Father, I pray that your grace would abound towards them, Lord. Because your word says, as your grace abounds, you said that they would be all sufficient at all times, in all things, abounding in every good work. Not because of their goodness, not because of their talents and their abilities, but because your grace overwhelmed them. So that for every hand that was raised, overwhelm them with your grace right now. So that they would abound in every good work. God, I thank you for sending them here today to experience your grace, to experience encouragement. So So Father, I pray that as they walk out of here, that they know that they're walking with you, that they're not in this by themselves. Father, I pray that anyone that's around them, God will go to them, embrace them, and let them know that they're with them, and that they're not in it by themselves. That's the beauty of the church, that we don't have to walk this life alone.
Yes.
So Father, I pray that you would give them eyes to see, maybe someone they can reach out to before they leave from here. But I pray for a move in their life. I pray for a move of God in their life, starting right now. God, you're not done with them yet. And God, we're grateful for that. Father, we also pray, God, for those who are dealing with sickness and illness, who feel like the sickness and illness is getting the best of them. But God, you said your word, God, no weapon formed against us will prosper. So even in the pain of sickness, God, you are there. In the pain of illness, God, you are there, God. So God, overwhelm them with your grace right now, God. And I pray that you move them closer to you in this season.